I felt God had spoken to us about five things. God is saying five things to us as a result of this. But we just, I wanted to bring that when we're sitting in there. So we'll just need to work out the timing of it. So this morning, I just want to look at something else very, very briefly. If you've got a Bible with you, in fact, this is the one moment where having your Bible on a phone is going to be helpful. Turn to Luke chapter 8 from the Message, and we're going to read from the Message. So Luke chapter 8, I really like the idea of having church and then a football match over there, and it's quite fun, Jerry. Yeah, and the car wash guys. God loves you. He loves all people that wash cars. So this morning, I just felt we need to say over ourselves again and again and again that we have been blessed to be a blessing. That is, if nothing else, we have been blessed to be a blessing to many people. And we have not been blessed with all of this just for ourselves. Do you know that? It's not for us. It's for the community. It's what God's plan is. So we're going to read, we'll read a fair bit of Luke chapter 8. And then, I'm not going to speak for very long this morning, but we will pray at the end. So Luke chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 40. And it says this. On his return from the Gerasene countryside, Jesus was welcomed by a crowd, and they were all there expecting him. And a man came up, Jairus by name. He was a president of the meeting place, and he fell at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his home because his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, was dying. So Jesus went with him, making his way through the crowd, through the pushing and jostling crowd. And in the crowd that day, there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages. And she had spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one of them had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. And at that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When no one stepped forward, Peter said, "But Master, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Dozens of people have touched you." But Jesus insisted, "No, someone touched me. I felt power discharging from me." When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden, she knelt trembling before him. And in front of all the people, she blurted out her story, why she touched him and how at the same moment she was healed. And Jesus said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed." And while he was still talking, someone from the leader's house came up and told him, spoke to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. There's no need to bother the teacher anymore." And Jesus overheard and said this, "Don't be upset. Trust in me and everything will be all right." Going into the house, he wouldn't let anyone else enter with him except for Peter, John, James, and the child's parents. Everyone was crying and carrying on over. And Jesus said to her, "Don't cry. She didn't die. She's sleeping." And they laughed at him because they knew that she was dead. And then Jesus, gripping her hand, called, "My dear child, get up." And she was up in an instant and breathing again. And he told them to give her something to eat. And her parents, surprisingly, were ecstatic. But Jesus warned them to keep quiet. Don't tell a soul what happened in this room. Just very briefly, we're going to read a few other passages. The reason why Jesus said, "Don't tell a soul," is because they had moved back into a really Jewish area. And actually, it wasn't the right time for the kingdom of God to be brought out. So he said, "No, just keep it quiet for the time being." But I want to look at a few things very, very briefly. Firstly, this woman, she had had a constant period for 12 years. She was an outcast. Because of it, she had lived a life of shame. She'd lived a life of being an outcast. She'd been unclean. She'd been rejected And it was no wonder when Jesus said, who touched me? It's no wonder she said, oh yeah, that's me over here. Of course she didn't. She'd been totally conditioned to live a life of shame, hidden away in the background, in the doldrums where no one would see her, no one wanted to touch her at all. And I just feel there is something for us this morning that in our shame, we can really come to Jesus. It doesn't really matter where we are. We want to be a church, but it doesn't matter where we have been or what we've done, whether it's debt, addiction, drunkenness, porn, or anything. In our shame, we can come to Jesus. And when we decide, oh, Jesus, we're going to come to you humbly, confess our sins. Come. Do you know what? God breaks in an extraordinary joy. This woman found extraordinary joy. A lifetime. I think she would have probably been anemic. So she would have been weak. She'd spent all her money. She had no hope whatsoever. But she came, she just laid it all before Jesus and said, I've got to be with Jesus. And suddenly joy broke in. I don't know how she knew it, but I think she just knew that Jesus would not reject her. And I want to be in a church where we know no one will be rejected, no matter what the shame they bring. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because if we do anything other than like just accept people, then actually we're being unlike Jesus. Now what Jesus said is, come to me humbly, confess your sin, and I will restore you and bring you to hope. Jairus. Jairus came, his 12-year-old daughter was dying. I've had two 12-year-old daughters, and now they're a little bit older. If they were dying, I'd go to the end of the world to try and find somebody that would heal them. And you go to, imagine you're Jairus, you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, you have to come because my daughter is dying. And Jesus said, yeah, okay, I'm coming. And then he comes, then he says, oh, by the way, I'm just going to do somebody else first. No, you're not, actually. You are not actually going to heal this. You're going to come to my daughter first. I find it a struggle to cope with that, if I'm really honest. I found it a struggle that Jesus, this Jairus went to Jesus and he healed somebody else first. And what do you do when you are longing for a breakthrough and God does it for somebody else first? It's hard, isn't it? You really want something, God to do something or to change something around or to bring a change in a circumstance or a situation or to sort, like help you sort your finances out or a relationship or something. And then why does God do it for somebody else first? It's just not fair. Well, we have to do what Jesus did and do this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to know what the woman did. The woman who had just been healed, if we say that we are blessed to be a blessing, wouldn't it be great if that woman who had just been healed of a 12-year period, if she was the first person to Jairus' house? I'll do whatever you want. I'll cook, I'll clean, I'll comfort, I'll console you, I'll do anything you want. We could speculate what that was. She probably just went off singing, hooray, I'm free. But wouldn't it be great if instead of just going off, she said, now I'm going to Jairus. I'm going to go and help that family over there. I think she was called, she was blessed to be a blessing. As a church, we want to be blessed to be a blessing. That building in there that looks so lovely and clean, and so pristine, and all new black chairs. I just need to let you know, it's not for us. It's not for us. We will use it, and we will do whatever we can in it, and we will use it, and we'll bring something for God's glory, but actually, we are blessed to be a blessing. If we ever take that and just think, come on, we can just relax now. No, we can't do it. I'm off, if that's what we do. We're blessed to be a blessing to as many people as we possibly can. The daughter then comes to life. Jesus goes with Jairus, says, I don't know why he said, oh, you're just sleeping. I don't know why he said that. If anyone could give me an answer to that, it'd be really interesting. But he then just says, no, she's not sleeping. He comes alive. And bizarrely, as I was reading that this morning, I was reminded, I'm not joking, of a dream I had in the night, last night. And it was a weird dream. Last night I fell asleep with our little puppy. Okay, and it was funny. And I fell asleep and then the puppy fell off me and hurt itself as it fell onto the floor. Okay, but anyway, that's just the moment, okay? Oh, isn't it lovely? However, I had a dream last night that I saw this baby that had died. And then I saw that it was like this. And I was only reminded, as I read this thing of this Jairus' daughter coming alive, I remember looking at this baby and suddenly this baby taking a gasp of life, a gasp of breath. And suddenly this baby coming alive. Now, when I woke up, I hadn't remembered it at all, but it was only as I read this morning that I said, no, I dreamt it. I dreamt a small baby just coming alive. And I felt God was saying that there are dreams that there'll be dreams that some people have had in here that have died. And they died in infancy, and they died when they're small. But I feel God is just saying to you, I'm breathing life into dreams. I want to breathe life into the things that you felt God has spoken to you. And I don't know, it might have been years and years and years ago, but you think, oh, I always wanted that thing to really happen. And it was something of God that, and I think, no, God is breathing life into it. God wants to breathe life into what he's spoken to you about many, many years ago. Let me read a few more verses we'll go to Luke 9. The wind has changed my page. Chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Jesus now called the 12 and gave them authority and power to deal with all demons and cure diseases. He commissioned them to preach the news of God's kingdom and to heal the sick. And he said, don't load yourself up with equipment. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. I really love that. You are the equipment. We don't need anything else. We don't need a building. Building's fantastic. Buildings are important, by the way. They are very important. They really help us. But we don't need it. You're the equipment. I'm the equipment. And no luxury inns. Get yourself a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcomed, leave the town. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders. Move on. Commissioned, they left. They travelled from town to town telling the latest news of God, the message, and curing people everywhere they went. Verse 10. The apostles returned and reported on what they'd done, and Jesus took them away, off by themselves to the town called Bethsaida. But the crowds got wind of it and followed. Jesus graciously welcomed them and talked to them about the kingdom of God. Those who needed healing, he healed. How can you and I be a blessing to how you and I can be blessed to be a blessing to other people? It's really very, very simple. Yes. Elliot is just waving to everybody down there. I think he's waving to his dad, actually, sitting there. How can you and I be a blessing to many people? Very simple. Talk about the kingdom of God and pray for people. And do you know what? We just came back from holiday on Friday in Sardinia. We were in the airport when we were going there. And you know, sometimes you have these ghost-like people in airports and you never see them and nobody ever talks to them and mostly they're invisible, but they wander around and they clear tables and they wipe tables and they put stuff in the bins, and everyone just carries on regardless. They're doing their stuff, they're talking, they're eating, they're putting their stuff down, and then these ghost-like people just come and pick it up and take it away. Nobody talks to them. When we were in the airport, this woman was clearing a table, and the few of us, we just said, oh, hello, how are you? Has it been a good day? Yeah, it's been okay. How long have you worked here? Oh, a few years. And then she said to us, are these your children? And I said, yeah. Suddenly, she became a real person. She was a genuine, real Indian lady. And we said, oh, have you got children?
And she said, oh, I've got one. But she looked an older lady. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. How old is your child? 4. But I don't know how old she was, but she might have been late 40s. She said, I had 8 miscarriages. 8 miscarriages. And suddenly, this invisible woman had become a very real lady. And there, as she was clearing our table, we just said, can we just pray for you now? She said, oh, yes, please. And we just said, oh, Lord, bless this lady, protect her child, give her grace and favour, let her be a blessing to many people in this airport today. Amen. Do you know what? She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. And that is the kingdom of God breaking out. It's not difficult. It's not a difficult thing. And sometimes some people will find that easy. Some people will find that really difficult. Find the thing that's easy, but the kingdom of God is breaking out. Just lastly, I want to read these last few verses. Luke 9, verse 12. We're blessed to be a blessing. As the day declined, the 12 said, dismiss the crowd so they can go to the farms or villages around here and get a room for the night and a bite to eat. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Jesus, rather unhelpfully, said, you feed them. And they said, look, we couldn't scrape up more than 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish, unless, of course, you want us to go into the town and buy food for everybody. There were more than 5,000 people in the crowd. But he went ahead and directed his disciples, sit them down in groups of about 50. And they did what he said. And soon everyone was seated. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread and the fish to the disciples to hand out to the crowd. And after the people had eaten their fill, 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered up. I just think it's interesting. There is something of the miraculous of what is happening here and happening in our midst. And I feel Jesus is saying to us, you sort it out. You feed Colindale. You feed North London. I have blessed you to be a blessing to many people. I'll be with you. I'll give you power. I will look after you. I'll sort with you. But you sort it. I think Jesus wanted to say to the disciples, look, you can do this thing. You can be an extraordinary blessing. These 5,000 people, you think it's impossible to do anything. No, you do it. Crack on and do it. And if you step out in faith, I'll be the one that will give you. I'll provide for you. I'll do everything that you need. But I need you to be the people that will step out in faith. And that is exactly what God is saying to us this morning. I am blessing you to be a blessing to many people. And I need to let you know that in the coming months and years, we will be stretched. If you feel that this is going to make us comfortable, beware. We will be stretched more than we have been stretched before. Already, there are other churches who want to sort of try and connect, and actually, we will be giving ourselves more to other churches. We will be growing. At some point, I just need to let you know, we will be thinking, do we have to have 2 services in here? 2 services? Oh no, I don't really want to do that. 2 times I have to lead worship, Manuela, Adam, Andy, I have to do worship twice. We're blessed to be a blessing. We will be stretched. We will be stretched. And I just want us to do that, not thinking, oh, we'll do it sacrificially like some great martyrs, but we're doing because God has poured out his blessing on us. God has done a miracle that we can do a miracle in Colindale through him. Amen. Amen. Also, is that a new little baby I see there? Nithin and Priya had a little baby. Do you want to come up? Come on. Is that okay? Just stand up and. Come on. I might. Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, there are times when we dedicate, but I just suddenly thought, it was in my diary, your due date, and then I said, you're carrying something, it must be your baby. Just tell us when, name.
Right. Yeah, so the baby was born on 20th of August at about 6:30 in the morning. So Priya did have a little long labor, a bit complicated later labor as well. So she did lose quite a bit of blood as well. So, but by God's grace, he did put his protection over her. And then she has made a really quick recovery as well. And then we brought the baby back home on Wednesday. And then, yeah, so a lot of sleepless nights, as you can imagine. So we named him Asher, the son of Israel. It means a blessing for us.
Yeah.
So his full name is going to be Asher James Samuel. Yeah, and just looking, thanks for all your prayers. I know all of you have been praying for us. And all the support and help that everyone has provided us, especially on the church, has been really overwhelming, and we are really blessed to be part of this family.
Can I just, there will come a point where we want to sort of like dedicate, but can I just pray, because it's so exciting, isn't it? And you can't have a baby come to church for the first time and not say something about it. Yeah. Father, we want to thank you so much for this extraordinary miracle. We thank you for Asher. We pray, Lord, that you would be with him, you'd cause him to grow, he'd be a young man that loves you with a raging passion. Lord, we pray for Priya, Lord, as she just recovers well. Lord, we pray that you'd make Priya an outstanding mum, Nithin an outstanding dad. Father, we thank you so much for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, what we're going to do is, I'd love us if could the band, could we come back up? If your music hasn't flown away somewhere. What would you like to end with?
Well, that you all know song. Come on, Duncan, you're the fussiest.
What about What a Faithful Frog?
Yeah. Oh, teach us that one, please.
Let's stand, shall we? We're going to have one song to finish with, and then I'll hand back to Jerry. But I do want to give an opportunity to pray for one another. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just to seal something in our lives, that we would be blessed to be a blessing. The recipients of so much grace, the recipients of so much goodwill, that we would be the most grace-filled people, the most kind, compassionate people that we know, generosity unbounded. I pray, Lord, that we would be the most courageous people to speak words of grace into our friends' and our neighbours' lives, to offer to pray for people when it's appropriate, when faith rises. Amen. And God, we say, would your kingdom come in our homes and in our offices, Lord, in every little community that we're part of, in our friendship groups. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd come and just anoint us again. Come on us, Lord. In the quiet place, come to God. If there's an element of shame in your life, just bring it to Jesus. You don't have to do it publicly. Just in the quiet place, bring it to him. Allow him to minister into your life.